KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, small craft advisory through Wednesday. Today, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 9 feet. Tonight, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 9 feet. And Wednesday, east winds 30 knots, seas 9 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, small craft advisory through Wednesday. Today, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 9 feet. Tonight, east winds 30 knots, seas 13 feet with rain. And Wednesday, east winds 30 knots, seas 11 feet with rain. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory through Wednesday. Today, east winds 30 knots, seas 9 feet with rain. Tonight, east winds 30 knots, seas 10 feet with rain. And Wednesday, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 8 feet with rain. Port Hyde and Nelson Lagoon, small craft advisory through Wednesday. Today, east winds 30 knots, seas 6 feet. Tonight, east winds 30 knots, seas 6 feet. And Wednesday, east winds 25 knots, seas 4 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory through Wednesday. Today, east winds 30 knots, seas 9 feet. Tonight, east winds 30 knots, seas 9 feet. And Wednesday, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 6 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, rain likely in the morning, then rain showers likely in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-30s to lower 40s, east winds 15 to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, rain showers likely in the evening, then rain and snow after midnight. Snow accumulation can be up to 1 inch. Lows in the upper 20s to upper 30s, east winds 15 to 30 miles per hour. And Wednesday, rain and snow likely in the morning, then rain and snow likely in the afternoon. Little to no snow accumulation. Highs in the lower 30s to lower 40s, east winds 10 to 25 miles per hour. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a high tide at 5:13 a.m. at 7 feet, a low tide at 12:02 p.m. at 1 foot 8 inches, a high at 5:56 p.m. at 4 feet 11 inches, and a low at 8:17 tonight at 2 feet 8 inches. Your sun rose at 8:57 this morning, and your sun will set at 6:55, giving us 9 hours and 58 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Today on KUCB News, eagles are nesting earlier than usual in Unalaska, and salmon bycatch in the Bering Sea has become the biggest fisheries issue in over a decade. All of that and more coming up.
Local programming on KUCB is made possible by the Aleutian Housing Authority, providing affordable housing services in the Aleutian Pribilof Islands region and working hard to create employment, job training opportunities, and promote economic development. More information at ahaak.org.
You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. It's Tuesday, February 18th, 2025. I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi with some local news. Eagles are nesting earlier than usual in Unalaska. Local Animal Control Officer Sean Peters has already received a few reports of where eagles are actively defending their territories. The nests are currently at the City Dock, above the Powerhouse, and at Little South America, but he says they're in more places. Unalaska's for-profit native corporation, the Unalashka Corporation, is warning residents to stay alert both on trails and in town. Eagles become highly territorial when protecting their young. If someone ventures too close to the nest, the eagle could swiftly swoop in and cause serious head injuries. If you have to pass a nest, officials suggest carrying a stick and holding it above your head to deter the eagles. And if you're approached, don't attack the eagle because you could be fined. The birds are protected by federal law. The Unalaska boys and girls basketball teams are off island this week competing in tournaments all the way from Nanilchik down to Metlakatla. Both teams placed second at the tournament in Nanilchik. They'll face off against Lumen Christi tonight at 6 and 7:30. KUCB's morning host Ryan Humphrey sat down with Unalaska's new activities director Kent Russell to hear about how the basketball season is shaping up so far and more generally about travel for all of the district's activities. Here's part of their conversation.
Tell us about how travel's gone up to this point in this through the school year, and then what's planned for the future as far as what do we have going the rest of the year?
Travel's been going pretty good. You know, there's some expenses that were unexpected, so we kind of have adjusted from that. But for the most part, you know, we have good kids and we have good coaches, and so travel's been going pretty good.
Good deal. Good deal. Have we had to cancel many trips this year for weather?
We've had to cancel a few. Most of the ones we've canceled have been home events due to weather because it's the conflict of teams getting back home and the getting back home on Sunday. And so that's kind of been the issue. That was like our issue with our basketball. And they canceled because Dillingham couldn't get back to Dillingham in time to get to school.
And so most people know that we did have our only home basketball games canceled, and our senior night a few weeks ago were canceled. And how did the coaches and players respond to that?
Oh, it was, you know, devastating that Thursday. They were supposed to fly on Thursday morning. Janae and I were geared up, ready to go pick them up, grab the buses and go get them, and then we saw the plane turn. So then I started getting on the phone and emails and started messaging people on possible reschedule of games, and I was talking to Levi, the AD from Dillingham, and he's been great. He's like, we were trying to do a bunch of stuff. We tried the possibility of bringing them out on Saturday, playing Sunday, and then taking them back, but just couldn't work because they were leaving early the next week, and so they couldn't miss this Monday. They had to be back in school on Monday.
So is there a plan to make up for those games that we missed so that we get at least one home weekend out of this season?
Yeah, so I talked to Rustin, who's the girls' head basketball coach at Soldotna, and he's wanted to come out here for years, and he knows what the opportunity is for their kids to come out. So his girls were coming out. They pretty much confirmed as soon as I messaged him. And then he convinced the JV boys from Soldotna to come out as well. So we're going to have both Soldotna JV boys and girls out February 27th, 28th, and March 1st.
So we'll play three nights, Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yeah, we'll play as many nights as we can.
Nice. So tell us about this. This is kind of an interesting trip the basketball team is on right now.
So we're doing longer trips and to utilize our money to get more games in. So it's kind of more bang for each trip. And so a friend of mine, TJ Scott, down there in Metlakatla, he's their boys coach. He messaged me last year and was like, hey, you want to come to Met? And I was like, no, because we can't pay for it. And he goes, well, what if we pay for it? And I was like, all right. When's your tournament? And so, you know, he told me the dates of their tournament. We know the Nanilchik people very well. Mr. Humphrey and I, we know their AD, and I know their head coach, Nick, very well. So we just set it up where we could go to this Nanilchik tournament, catch some conference games with Seward, Lumen, and then fly into Ketchikan on Wednesday, play Ketchikan JV, and then catch the boat and go over to Met and play in the Met tournament.
Nice. How many games are they getting?
Ooh, 9 games in 11 days or something.
9 games in 11 days or something along those lines. That's a lot. That's like college athletics right there.
Well,
trips, right?
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier playing some conference games. Our basketball team changed conferences this year, correct?
Yep.
What's that look like, and how do you think that's going to change travel and competition, especially going into regions?
So we joined the conference with kind of the Peninsula and road teams. And so it's us, Seward, Lumen, Sioux Valley, which is Talkeetna, and Nanilchik. And so with that, all those teams are on the road system. So they host like regions at their places, but they know they'll never send teams out here for regions. And so it just kind of is what it is.
But we always had to travel for regions before anyway, right? So it doesn't really affect us as much as it would them.
Yeah, the last time we had a home region event was like my first year coaching here. It was like 13 years ago or something. Okay. Yeah, and so what will happen is this year regions is at Lumen. So our kids will go into Lumen and they'll stay in Anchorage. And if they happen to qualify for state, they'll just stay out because it's spring break.
Nice. Do you think that makes us more competitive in the way it's changed compared to what it was before with Tigiak and Dillingham and Unalakleet, or about the same? Or
It just depends. You know, as small schools, competition levels cycle up and cycle down. On the boys' side, the region's tough. Our region, whoever comes out of our region as the one seed is probably not the top team in state, but probably two or three. And then the second seed will probably be like five or four seed. It's pretty tough. Then on the girls' side, it's kind of up in the air because Seward girls are really good, but Unalakleet was really good, and so it's kind of balanced.
Okay.
So it just depends on the years.
What's coming up for travel, not just with athletics? That's been, you know, obviously we think of you're the activities director. A lot of times they call us, you know, athletic directors, but we're activities directors, or you are, I was. Not just with sports, but what's coming up as far as what trips do we have planned for the rest of the school year?
As you know, the month of April is busy with travel, academic and athletic. We have foreign language leaving next week. And so nice. Hannah's, Miss Val's taking 10 kids.
10?
Yeah, she's got a big crew. Nice. And so there's a lot there. And then the band leaves in April, and that's 30 kids roughly and 5 chaperones. And then there's, you know, government goes to Sitka, which will be fun for those kids. And then obviously NYO is in April. There's a bunch. Our spelling bee champ, she takes her tests like during this time and we'll determine if she goes to state or not. And so we got a lot of travel, a lot of academic travel.
Very nice.
Along with athletic travel.
That was KUCB's morning host, Ryan Humphrey, speaking with the school district's activities director, Kent Russell. The Unalaska Raiders basketball teams play at 6 and 7:30 tonight. The games will be broadcast live right here on KUCB 89.7 FM. The organization that manages federal fisheries off Alaska's coasts wrapped up a week-long meeting Tuesday. At the center of the discussions, salmon bycatch in the Bering Sea. As the Alaska Desk's Theo Greenlee reports, it's become the biggest fisheries issue in over a decade.
Bycatch dominated February's meeting of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, a 15-member group that sets regulations for federal fisheries off Alaska's coasts. After a week of testimonies and presentations, the council unanimously approved a motion that inches forward a decision that could finally put to bed the issue of trawler's chum bycatch, which many blame for the catastrophic decline of chum returns in western Alaska. A quick primer, bycatch refers to fish unintentionally caught while targeting other species. In 2021, pollock trawlers in the Bering Sea caught 500,000 chum salmon as bycatch, fish that never made it back to their spawning rivers. For people like Amber Vaska in western Alaska, where subsistence communities are facing an existential crisis, that's unacceptable.
Subsistence needs are ignored. Restrictions are unjustly placed upon us. We have given everything, and bycatch is allowed without accountability. Our survival is worth less than the profits of this industry.
Vaska was one of more than 150 people who testified before the council. She works with the Tanana Chiefs Conference, which represents over 40 tribes in Alaska. Vaska argued that bycatch isn't just a crisis for fisheries. Their entire way of life is under threat.
You heard it today. You've been hearing it for years. It paints a heartbreaking picture of the salmon crisis on our well-being. Our lives, our culture, everything we are revolves around salmon.
On the surface, the issue may seem straightforward. Industrial trawlers scoop up salmon before they can return to Western Alaska rivers, decimating subsistence communities in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. The Bering Sea trawl sector is the largest commercial fishery in the nation and is worth about $2 billion. Trawlers have been catching more chum as bycatch than fishermen in Western Alaska are catching for subsistence. But federal and state scientists point to extreme marine heat waves, which have devastated chum populations, as driving salmon declines. Warming oceans are shifting entire food chains. But advocates for tighter restrictions, like Jackie Boyer with the nonprofit Salmon State, say bycatch is one factor communities can actually control.
Climate change is an issue, but that's something that we've got no control over. But what we do have control over is bycatch.
Climate change may be doing the heavy lifting, but 35,000 chum salmon were still caught in the Bering Sea pollock fishery last year. Meanwhile, smokehouses and freezers have gone empty in places like the YK Delta. Now, leading studies estimate that less than 20% of that chum bycatch originates in Western Alaska and instead comes from Asia. The council has to weigh the impacts of bycatch against potential economic consequences for the trawl sector, too. Council member John Kurland told attendees the council was in a good position to support both groups.
It strikes me that the council's challenge here is to strike a balance. It clearly would not be practicable to close the pollock fishery and forego all of its benefits to the nation.
The council's motion includes five possible actions. They range from keeping the status quo and doing nothing to setting strict bycatch limits, seasonal closures, and industry-led avoidance measures. The council unanimously agreed to approve the motion, which means they'll study those alternatives to prepare for their meeting in December. In Unalaska, I'm Theo Greenlee.
State lawmakers are considering a new student loan repayment program to attract former Alaskans to return and serve as teachers and state workers. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, it's an effort to address the state's struggle to hire key employees and stem the tide of out-migration.
The program outlined in House Bill 28 would pay off up to $24,000 in student debt for Alaskans who go out of state for college as an incentive to return home to work for the state or as a public school teacher. Juneau Democratic Representative Andy Story is the bill's sponsor.
I want to incentivize and encourage skilled former Alaskans to come back home and work as teachers or state employees. These Alaskans typically have family here and a connection to this place and are more apt to stay long-term than new hires from another state.
Over the past 12 years, roughly 56,000 more Alaskans left the state than arrived. And Story says only about a third of Alaskans who go south for college wind up coming back. Her proposed loan repayment program would also be open to University of Alaska graduates who have lived out of state for at least a year. The repayments would be funded by $1 million from the state's Higher Education Fund each year. The three-year pilot program could support up to 125 yearly $8,000 grants. The bill had its first hearing on Monday. Terry Fagerstrom testified. She received state student loan assistance under a program active in the 1970s and 80s, and she said it provided an incentive to return home after going to college in the lower 48.
At the end of 5 years, I had a really good job, and I had great benefits. I had established my community, I had friends, I'd purchased a home, and I was vested, and I stayed here. So the way I look at it, for an $11,000 investment, the state of Alaska got a 31-year, very productive, highly educated employee. And I think that's a pretty good return on investment.
The bill is currently in the early stages of the legislative process. It'll have to clear the House Education Committee and the Finance Committee before advancing to a final House vote. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
Let's take a look at KUCB's community calendar for this week. The Unalaska Raiders basketball team will face Lumen Christi this evening with games at 6 o'clock and 7:30. We'll broadcast the games live right here on KUCB 89.7 FM. Go Raiders! Yoga is back in Unalaska. Instructor Alyssa McDonald will be teaching two yoga classes and a sound healing class tomorrow evening and Friday evening. The first yoga class starts at 5:30 and will last for an hour. The second class is from 6:30 to 7:30, Sound healing will be half an hour, and that starts at 7:30. For more information on these yoga classes or for other events happening later this week, head to our community calendar at kucb.org. That's the news from Unalaska. I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an environmental assistant. The Shimigane Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a housekeeper and a bartender. The Adaga Tribe of King Cove is looking for a tribal administrator, a part-time or full-time IGAP assistant, and a solid waste recycling technician. The Belkoski Tribe of King Cove is looking for a part-time IGAP assistant, a full-time Belkoski Environmental Program assistant, and a part-time pull-tab sales clerk. EATS is hiring a behavior health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a community health aide for False Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. Today is February 18th, 2025. Happy birthday to Andrew Foster, and happy birthday to Morgan Gunderson. And that's all for the Community Window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
This program was brought to you by Jim and Shirley Brown's Apartments, located in Sandpoint above Trident Seafoods and the Boat Harbor, featuring two-bedroom apartments on a month-to-month basis. For more information, call Jim Brown at 386-6050.
Don't you love her badly? Don't you need her badly? Don't you love her ways? Tell me what you say. Don't you love her badly? Wanna be her daddy? Don't you love her face? Don't you love her? All your love is gone.
A lot of freaks.
To win.
don't you know that I was sitting back in Texas? I was playing old rhythm and blues. And then I got a big offer for more money than I could refuse. I had my chance to make it, playing anything I wanted to play. But playing back in my mind, you know I could hear the people say, keep playing that rock and roll. Keep doing what you've been told. Woo! Save your money up for when you get old. Got to keep playing that rock and roll. So I packed up and I made it up to New York, where my brother was a great big star. He was doing funky music, yeah! Singing and playing guitar. Johnny was making a big turn. Everything was going this way. But playing back in my mind, you know I could hear the people say, keep playing. Don't you know that I've been doing lots of thinking? Well, I have been trying hard to figure it out. But there's a certain kind of music, yeah! Got to make you jump and shout. Now you can call it commercial if you wanna see it that way. But playing back in my mind, you know I can hear the people say, keep playing.
You're tuned in Sandpoint to 8:30 a.m. KSDP, 91.9 FM KAEB in Sandpoint, also K201DA in King Cove, Alaska.
This is Dmitry Filimonov, President and CEO of the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association.
Over the last 5 years, APIA's Tribal Child Support Program has collected and distributed nearly $1.5 million, with 100% of those funds going to parents raising our next generation. We offer flexible and holistic case management to families. All residents of the Regional 10 communities are eligible for this alternative to state child support. To apply, please go to apiai.org or call 1-800-478-2742.
Remember, if you are in Anchorage, please come visit the Unangamula, home of the Aleuts. Unangam, Atakan, Akun. We are one.
This message brought to you by the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association.
One, two, three, four. Nam yo ho renge kyo Buddha, please. Pity how belittled there's nuts begging on her knees. Illusion fills my head like an empty can. I spent a million lifetimes loving the same man. Whoa!